Hi, everyone. You're listening to In the Open, a podcast by Mental Health America, where we talk all things mental health related.
Hi, guys. It's America. We're here for another session of In the Open. Teresa's with me this week. And we're going to talk about something that we kind of talked about in our last session around how to tell someone that whatever they're doing is making you mad, upset. And we're going to kind of figure out how to talk about this so that you guys understand where our minds are at. But the last session that we had focused on us getting mad at little things. And the end of that really kind of led us to this conversation. So I'm going to let Teresa take a stab at kind of helping us frame this conversation a little more.
Yeah. If you're trying to figure out how you're sweating the small stuff, I think there comes a point where you realize, oh, something is important. So a bit of this is about how do I tell someone I'm mad? But also because we said, right, that when you evaluate the things that feel little and you realize, oh, this is actually really important to me, you then have to figure out how to tell this person who hurt you that something was important and it mattered. But that's really, really hard. I am 40 and I don't think I learned how to do this until 2020.
You also talked about last time about like understanding where you may be at fault and also apologizing, which is a big thing. So we will talk about that. So let's kind of understand the first part of it. When somebody does something that you interpret as something that really impacts your day, your life, whatever, and it's a big deal to you, and you've done the work to understand why it's such a big deal to you, how do you tell somebody that whatever they've done hurts your feelings, making you mad? And how do you like get them to understand that it's really important?
Hold on. I have to ask you, like, is it easy for you to do this? Because the first thing that comes to my mind is how hard it is for me to do this, which is why I say I'm still learning about it in 2020, because I realized I don't stand up for myself. That's very hard for me.
It is easier, I think, like if on a scale from 1 to 10, where 10 is being the hardest, right? I would say I'm probably like at a 4. It's not that hard now for me to be like, no, you're doing this thing makes me mad because of this.
Really? That's amazing. Yes. Wait, you're saying 4 out of 10? That's how hard it is? Like 10 is hard or 10 is...
10 is hard.
But you're only at a 4? Because I'm sitting here listening to you thinking, oh, America's at an 8.
No. Those are on like the little things that don't require super invasive work. The ones that are super invasive work, it's much harder. And those are the ones that are tied to past experiences, how past experiences have led me to believe whatever and react in whatever way I'm reacting now.
What I was originally thinking is if there's a conflict and I'm upset about something, my past MO was to run. I avoid conflict. I don't tell people I'm upset. I don't even tell myself I'm upset.
So you kind of shut down like a little turtle, like boop.
Yeah, this conversation makes me so uncomfortable because I'm saying, yeah, I've really started to wrestle. I don't think I realized how much I was conflict avoidant. Uh-huh. And all of my therapy this year has been about, oh, you're actually really passive. And then, yeah, you don't really say what you need or you want. And I'm like, this sucks because I swear to God, I figured that out when I was 20.
Yeah.
And it's like coming back again. You know, yeah. So, and then I'm like, oh, do I communicate to people that I'm upset? You know, or do I communicate what it is that I need or what is important to me? Honestly, the reality of it is, we say this all the time, but recovery is not like a line. It comes back and you realize you fall back in traps and you realize there are more layers. And it just, when you ask this initial question, that was the first thought. I was like, oh, I would prefer to never have to tell someone I'm upset at them. I still regularly avoid telling people that I'm upset with them.
Two things resonate from what you said. One, you thought you had wrestled this at 20. Your needs at 20 are different when your needs at 40. That's one. Two, we oftentimes don't know how to really confront whatever it is that's upsetting us. So it is easier to retreat and be like, I don't even want to deal with it. And so that kind of gets back to our previous conversation about like choosing your battle, right? But what we came to understand and what we've come to understand is like by us not voicing our concerns, our needs, and being upset by these little things, then they build up, right? And they mess with our mental health. Because then,
and our relationship.
Yes. Yeah. And the energy that's needed to move past that is energy that could be put elsewhere.
It's just very hard to confront. I'm acknowledging for people who feel like it's hard. It is a process to learn how to tell someone you're mad at them is tied to how good you are at standing up to yourself, I think. Standing up for yourself, not to yourself.
I think it's both. I think it's completely both. Because there have been times where you're talking about like mad. And I think at for us, of course, that initial feeling of anger and mad is so easy. But at the bottom of that pit of emotion is hurt.
Yeah.
And for us to be like, this hurts my feelings because.
Yeah.
Oh, in therapy, right? Like that's one of the things that therapists help you work through. And I remember like doing this exercise and I'd be like, this isn't going to work. You know, like that doesn't do anything. But once you start actually practicing the questions, like, and doing this, like doing the actual motions, I feel this way because you're like, I don't know why. Why do I feel this way? And it's all this internal talk. And you're like, that really hurt me. You know, like, why did it hurt me? So when you avoid conflict, I rather embrace it. And I want to be like, let's talk about it. Let's hash this out so that it's not just sitting there.
Yeah. I've learned to do this with places that I feel safe. Mm-hmm. Like once I felt safe, it did help me to feel like I could confront situations. And with my husband, this has been easier, right? I noticed that I still don't confront work situations, for example, because I don't feel safe there. In confrontational work relationships, I'll just go outside and take a walk or vent or whatever and then complain to someone else, but I'll never confront the person at work.
When you say safe, what does that feel like for you?
I mean, this is why you guys are listening to What Is Hard Work and Processing, right? Because I do feel like a lot of these issues are tied to past experiences where, you know, if you're taught from a young age to not complain about stuff or to not have a voice, then training yourself as an adult to say, oh, it's okay to confront people or it's okay to say you want something or need something. Your voice is as important as other people's voices and needs. That takes a process. But I also realized one added problem was experiencing yellers.
Hmm.
So like if you express something you might want or need, but you also saw people respond with a lot of anger, that fear or lack of safety also makes you feel like, oh my gosh, I can't make waves because if I make waves,
then you're putting yourself in danger.
Yeah. So it's not that I feel unsafe with my colleague, but it's hard to undo that trigger emotional fear response. So if in a situation I don't feel safe, like if I feel like, oh, I might get yelled at or somebody's coming at me and mm-hmm. I feel defensive, all of those things come at me and they feel very strong at one time. And my natural instinct is to shut down. And if I have to stay in the situation, I start to get really freaked out because I'm like, oh, I'm going to cry right here because it feels so emotional because I feel like I'm attacked or I'm put in a corner or whatever it is that like ties back into the old situation. I'm not able to confront that person or tell them what to do. But I have had to practice it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's where like what telling someone something matters or important in the middle of a fight is so hard versus if I take some space and I go sit with it and do what you ask, where I'm like, what is that? Why is it important? Why did I react that way? And I could take a breath, take a shower or whatever, and come back and then say calmly to that person, hey, when that happened, that really upset me. This is the way I feel and what happened. it's two different situations. Telling someone you're mad in the moment when your emotions are high and telling someone you're mad when I've had time to calm down and step away from the anger, the defensiveness or whatever.
Yeah, it makes sense. Like when I think about safety and what you've said, I feel like for me, safety exists where the other person is going to receive and not just be reactive. And so it might require, and I think in most cases, it requires for us not to be in a place of conflict at the moment because we're not really going to be able to hear one another.
You're saying something so important here. It's you're saying that the receptivity and the trust in the relationship matters. And that, you know, I didn't quite understand when I said that I was safe with my husband. I feel safe with you is that I know that even if we have a conflict, I can come back to you and you have my best interest at heart.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a huge level of safety, right? Like I'm like, oh, I can blow up at America or America's blowing up at me, but I don't question that America likes me or loves me.
Right. And I think that's the core, right? Where we can share our discontent, our unhappiness about X thing, but we're not attacking our personhood.
Yeah. Even though I perceive it, like even though I feel defensive in the moment, I feel like right. You're attacking my personhood. If I step away, I can recalibrate and go and remember like, this is not what America's trying to do.
Right. Right. And like I'm thinking about like when you're a teenager and the moments that you just feel like the walls are closing in on you because you just feel like nobody's understanding. Everything that you are seeing from your eyes is just like, what's happening with the world? Am I the only one that's feeling this way? And I think finding somebody that you can say, I need this thing and have them listen and have them be responsive to it too, right? To be like, mm-hmm. Yeah, I get it. I felt that. But not everybody's there. Not everybody's there. And you also talk about such an important thing when if you're in the moment and in a moment of conflict, which I have been in so many different situations, varying levels of conflict, right? The other person is most often not going to hear what I have to say because what they're hearing is just me like, brr, you know, and attacking where I would want them to be like, here are roses and beautiful unicorns that I'm trying to share with you, you know, but they're not getting that. They're just like fire breather, you know, and I would receive it in the same way in many cases if we're upset.
Yeah. So I think our first tip is don't tell someone you're mad when you're mad, when you're mad.
Yeah.
Maybe take some space away. We need distance from the emotional the heightened emotional responses. We need distance. You need distance away from that. Because if you try to come at someone and tell them you're mad when you're also feeling incredibly mad, boy, that's kind of a recipe for another big fight. And we, you know, you've probably done this. You know, when you're, you know, can you tell that your fights have steps? We're like, oh, I'm mad.
Yeah.
Oh, we're going to keep pushing it. Oh, I'm really mad. Oh, we're going to keep pushing it. Oh, we're going to keep pushing it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, oh, you want to start? Let's go ahead. Let's break it all down here.
Ooh. Yeah. Yeah.
That's so bad, Teresa. Like, this is what I'm thinking, right? Like, I've been in particularly the relationship that I have, right, with my fiance, where it's like, we get mad about something and I'm like, you're not understanding what I'm saying. And his response is like, this is what you're saying. I'm like, no, I'm not saying that. And he's like, what, that's what you said. I was like, no, let me rephrase it. And he's still not getting it. And I'm like, oh, why aren't you getting it? How many other ways am I supposed to say this? Like, I'll get super mad and maybe he'll walk away and then I follow. And I'm like, no, no, no. And he's like, leave me alone. Like, I want time to like process. And I'm just like, no, I want to figure this out right now. And he'll be like, you can't do that. Like, you can't do that. I'm like, fine. So I've had to learn, and for both of us, how to step away for his sanity, for my sanity, to defuse the bomb. And then normally we're better able, you know, once we're like level-headed to be like, this is what I was trying to get you to understand. And there are different ways to say it. And even in like relationships with friends where you're saying, let's not talk to somebody when they're mad or we're mad. But even before that, try to understand and really put down, maybe it's putting it down on paper or something, what is really the center of why you are upset or your feelings are hurt or whatever.
Yeah. I think a lot of people can relate to that because there's something special about fights that just escalates things. And this happened when I was young. It happens to me as an adult. Fights always start as something stupid.
Yeah.
Examples. Who has a better speaker system? Why was that a fight? Why? It wasn't even about you talked about the mug last session. Not about the stupid mug, not about your stupid speaker system. It's so much work to figure out what is the root of your issue. And you cannot do that when you're upset. But it is hard to step away. So we need to talk about stepping away, because how to tell someone you're mad? Well, you can't do it when you're upset, like in the height of upset. So it is a skill to walk away. Are you a good walk-awayer? Obviously not. Why?
I am not a good walk-awayer because I feel it's better for us to hash everything out and we get it all on the table and just be like, oh, this is going to be dirty. Let's get it done. But what's happened is...
But where'd you learn that?
I don't know.
Is it that you learned it? Because this is what I think. I struggle with the same thing. So is it that I learned it? Is that be in this moment, I feel so much intensity about the situation. I can't let it go because I feel I have to fight this battle to win or to make my point. Like, I have a hard time stepping away if I feel like I need to make my point. I need to get my
I need
to get my side of the story into it. Because walking away in this moment without the last jab, which my husband also always throws at my face, where he's like, you always have to get the last word in. And I have to ask myself, like, why is that important to me to get the last word in?
I want the person to have done as much work as I've done. Mm. I'm thinking of like something stupid, right? Like Lady and the Tramp, the movie, the original Disney version is better than the one that has come out with like real people or whatever, right? Something so simple. Why is that important? It's not really important. But this is why my mind goes here. If I have done the work and I've read about like everything that was done about Lady and the Tramp, the original, I want you to know that, you know, like there's reasoning behind my argument. And then the other person will be like, so it's the same movie. And it's like, no, it's not. So it's part about like the person, I want them to do the work that I've done.
But if somebody is dismissive, it feels like a heightened pain because you're like, this matters to me. The fact that you're dismissive makes me feel like I need to get angry so you see that it's important.
Yeah. And I can't let it go now. Like,
yeah,
there's I've chosen nothing like, this.
Yeah. Dismissiveness. Oh, and I just have to note, honestly, in a relationship, I've sometimes been the aggressor where I can't let the things go. And I've also been on the other side where I'm like, you better step back right now. I need space or I'm going to punch your face.
Yeah, I've been both.
So it's not like one or the other. You know, I think what the important thing is to understand when you start to break down your arguments is to understand when something happens and how or why, which is much harder than to just blame someone else for always being the aggressor or the whatever. It's too easy to do that and just blame each other for being a bad person. I think it's a much harder but more fruitful relationship thing or person thing to say, what was my part in this situation and where did we kind of – like what mattered and how do I think about that as part of how to navigate when I need to tell someone something's important.
Dude.
Like it mattered because you put time, because you cared. And the fact that that person might have been dismissive about Lady and the Tramp tells you, hey, you don't care about me. And a lot of things I think comes down to that. We get mad when we feel like someone is saying, I don't care about you.
Yes. You made me have like a bit of an epiphany because I've talked before about the fact that I was married before. And there was a time in my previous marriage where I never really voiced what I wanted, what I needed. And I would just acquiesce to whatever he wanted and be like, oh, okay, whatever. So that I would avoid conflict. Mm-hmm. Now I'm just like, nah, I'm going to tell you what I want and what I need. So I avoid getting into these bad places where I've been before.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm more willing to engage in that kind of difficult conversation, even if I know it's going to be a difficult one, because I've already lived that previous experience where I never said anything.
When I'm conflict avoidant, I have to learn not to be that way because it's really damaging. Some people think, oh, I'm peacekeeping, but it's not true. You're not peacekeeping. You're basically cutting yourself out from being in a co-equal relationship with a person. You think that you're somehow peacekeeping, but it's totally false, right?
Yeah, in some ways, you're lying to yourself. You're avoiding the true part of who you are by trying to not have a difficult conversation.
Yeah. Denying yourself from that relationship, but denying your partner from being in a relationship with you, which is unfair because nobody, you know, we can't be in a relationship with someone who doesn't exist. Like, I feel like we talked about some important steps to reflect on to not be mad. So let's say that we did the work. Say we stepped away. We identified what was important to you. How do you then bring it back up? What does that look like?
I try to find a time when I am not at peace, but I am calm. Calm so that I can keep my ideas very clear and level-headed. Mm-hmm. And normally I will approach the person and be like, you know, when X thing happened yesterday, the week before, whatever, I've been thinking about it. And, you know, when I thought about it, it hurt me because your response, your whatever you said, hurt me because of this. And normally I try to find really why it hurt, with the hopes that the person on the other side is going to be like, I didn't realize that it hurt you because of that. And most of the times now, I feel that that has worked.
I like that. Early on, I used to bumble through it, which looks so awful. Because then, like, my partner could never tell if something, like, they would be like, are you just freaking out right now? Like, do you need to go eat chocolate? Like,
yeah.
Then I found a trick where I had to be like, this is important. I just had to say that first.
Yeah.
This is important. Then I had to tell my partners, like, if I say this is important, this is just a cue for you to just cue in and give me the time and space to work through the chaos that is in my mind. Because it was like addressing conflict, telling someone I'm mad, standing up for myself, the anxiety, the panic, the shame, the desire to flee, all of that enters into this one moment where I'm about to tell someone that I'm mad at them, that I needed to have cues to this person, like, this is all the crap that's happening. And like, I would say, okay, this is important. And that helped for him to not dismiss or just walk away.
Something that I've also done and I've learned how to do is I need your full attention.
That's that version of that.
Yes. Because, and I've also asked that of people when they want to come and talk to me. Because I'm often doing other things, you know, whether I'm at home or I'm at work, right? And your mind is just like pulled in different directions. So if you want me to focus, tell me to focus.
I need your full attention. My husband says, can you please look at me in the eyes?
Sometimes I can't look at them, the person.
Oh, no, I know. He asked me to do this and it makes me so uncomfortable because I immediately get shifty eyes. Like I'm, I don't want to look at you in the eyes. Why do you want me to do this? But if I try to step away from my own ridiculousness, I can recognize that he's trying to communicate to me, this is important to me.
Yeah, that he needs your full attention.
Yeah, he needs my full attention. That is step one.
Yes.
Okay, step two. I like that you said, oh, this is why you hurt me. My version of this is why you hurt me was what I think I shared this resource with you and I learned it sometime, you know, early on in my social work career was nonviolent communication. Hmm. When this happened, this is how I felt and I had to practice the feeling word and then I had to practice the last step, which is what do I need right now? Mm-hmm. And that was so hard. Every layer was hard. Identifying what the person did specifically that hurt me, identifying the feeling that I had. It had to be a feeling, not a you statement, not like, oh, I feel like you're a jerk. That's not a you statement. I feel vulnerable. I feel scared. I feel unheard. I feel blah, blah, blah.
So can you give me an example of that, babe? Like, I don't know. I yelled at you like yesterday. So how would you tell me?
Hey, when we had that phone call, I felt like you were yelling at me. I know that like it's just an intense situation, you know. But what I felt was, did I feel attacked? I feel mm-hmm. defensive. I felt like shame that maybe I did something wrong. And the more I've practiced this, the more I've been able to identify multiple layers of things and be able to communicate the multiple layers. Because before it just been like, I felt mad. Mm-hmm. I just felt mad. And like, you're like, no, you didn't just feel mad. I did feel mad at you because I felt like you're attacking me. But underneath the mad and the anger is I feel defensive because I feel like what you're trying to do is tell me that I'm doing something wrong, but I'm just trying to do the best that I can. This is a common thread, right? As part of like imposter syndrome or like failing as a wife and a husband, a wife and a mother or whatever. and it's just like, and the need part is still a hard thing. It's like, what I need is like, I just need some distance or I just need like you to know that.
It hurt me.
If you're going to bring up an issue, like just know that this is part of the challenge. Like, you know, there's a lot there or... I need us to schedule a time to talk about this issue. Like you can't bring it up to me on the fly. That bringing something up on the fly makes my anxiety shoot through the roof. Mm. But if you plan it and you're like, hey, I'm going to talk to you about this thing. Like, this is what we're going to do. I'm like, okay, thanks. I have clarity. I know what to expect.
See, that would freak me out a little bit. Like the let's plan for a time. Because my mind will be like, what do you need to plan for? Like, it's just a conversation. Like, why would you need to like really think about what you need to say, you know? And then like, I've also asked when you think about the need part, like, I need you to think about this a little more and how you would feel in this situation. And, you know, hopefully in a couple of days we can talk about it again.
Yeah. I need empathy.
Yeah.
You know, early on, one of the things was like, my husband... I would get mad at what felt like a little thing. And I got mad at like him always making coffee first or always taking a shower first, but never thinking about like, do I also need to take a shower right now too? And it always felt inequitable. Like he was always the first to do it. And then I would be mad because I'm like, damn, he beat me to it. Cause I could have just been a little more organized and be like, I'm gonna go take a shower. I was like, why am I so mad at this, right? And it was like, oh, is it about inequity? And sometimes the solution is just like, hey, I need you to check in with me. Like maybe you ask me, do I need to take a shower first today? Or I'm about to make coffee. Have you made coffee yet?
Yes.
Today? And then just check in. And so you're not assuming that you could just take you time. And like maybe I just want a space in there too.
Yeah. You know, I hear my fiance's voice in my head right now because what he would say is, you're not considering me. And I'd be like, what do you mean, man? I'm considering you everywhere, you know? But then be like, you're not considering me because you didn't ask me if I wanted coffee. You didn't ask me how I felt about X thing. You just made a decision. You bulldozed all over me. And I'm like, oh. And then it gets to that hard part where you're like, I didn't realize I was doing that. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Dude, but that's so hard.
It's so hard to apologize. Yeah.
It's like the hardest thing.
Especially if we hurt people.
Yes.
When you feel guilt and shame that you hurt someone, it's even harder to apologize because you're so overwhelmed by your feeling of shame.
I would also suggest if somebody is having like a little bit of difficulty in thinking about what to even say, you could write a letter.
Yeah.
Just hand it to the person and be like, I just need you to read this.
Yeah.
That gives you a little bit of space so you don't have to really – you're not confronting in that way. And you know, one of the fact sheets that we had for Mental Health Month was about feelings. So people can access that at mhanational.org/May. And it gives you like a whole list of feelings.
But there's others like DBT has Dear Man,
which is
something very similar. And if you're really struggling with emotional regulation, like not – snapping at people or telling, you know, not trying to deal with your own emotions when you're about to tell someone that you're mad at them. The whole field of emotional regulation and dialectical behavioral therapy, DBT, is so good for that. So there's a ton of free resources to get you started on learning And it's been a learning and practicing process because we learned all these dink skills. We learned them from our parents. We learned them from society.
Yeah.
We learned them from bad habits, and being healthier and in a good relationship while managing your mental health problems is relearning and retraining, and it's okay.
So let me ask you one final question, kind of related to all of this. In an ideal situation, the person that you share this with is going to be receptive and is able to process maybe with you and maybe modify things in the future. What happens if the person isn't receptive? What do you do with the feelings that you have that mm-hmm. just exist there?
The thing is, I have to think about patterns. So if I have a person I love and I can trust, and there are some days where the conversation goes well and other days where the conversation doesn't go well, some days you win, some days you lose, it's fine. You just try again. And sometimes these kinds of conversations can happen over multiple conversations to help convey to the person what was important, but also to give me the time to unpack what really mattered, which can take a lot of time, is one thing. The other thing, though, is I have also been in relationships where you tell somebody something that matters and you're really not sure that person is receptive. Maybe they have so much of their own pain that it's really hard for them to listen and hear. And you have to decide, is this relationship toxic or is it codependent and unhealthy?
Mm.
And it may signal to you, if you constantly have someone who dismisses you, who does not validate you, who does not put your best interest at heart, who doesn't, you know, like, I trust you because I know that in the end you care about me. If you can't say that, it's also a sign that maybe you have to ask yourself about the strength of this relationship and the timing of it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just not what you need right now. And it's okay. It's time to put things behind you and sever relationships.
That's a very good point.
How about you? Final thoughts?
I'm thinking about everything that you said. It does take a lot of work to dig into all of these things and unlearn the behaviors that have, for one reason or another, been like our go-tos. But I think if we give ourselves the opportunity to engage in a lot of more introspective work and really looking and understanding why, then it's for the better. It's always going to be for the better. It's going to hurt along the way, but it's going to be for the better.
Yeah. Keep on fighting in the open.
All right, people. We'll check you next week.